Thank you, brothers and sisters, for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here to read the Word of God and to be able to speak of the hope and the beauty of the Word of God that we have in Him. Please join me in Romans 8:31-39. Open your Bibles on Romans 8:31-39. Romans 8:31-39. Let's hear the Word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who have risen. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are beaten, killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the Word of God. When I was in middle school, I remember that my teacher asked me and one of my friends to sneak into our classroom to prepare for a surprise birthday for another classmate. He told us that we would have permission to go into the classroom in break to prepare to make the preparation needed. I was very nervous because I don't want to brag, but I was one of those kids who liked it to follow all the rules in the classroom. I didn't like to break it. Teachers really always liked me because I was never the kid that was making troubles and things. I actually was known as the friend of the teachers. But we'll have permission. We have a mission to do. So my friend and I sneak into the classroom in the middle of break to prepare for the birthday party for our companion. Of course, what I feared the most happened. One of our other classmates who didn't know about it discovered us. And he quickly started to rumble about how he was going to tell the teachers and how we didn't have permission to be there and how he was going to tell us and we were in big troubles and that we were doing something that we shouldn't be doing. And of course, my classmate started to explain to my friend that we have permission actually. The teacher has sent us to do this preparation. But he wouldn't listen. He would just keep babbling and saying and talking and pointing finger and saying, I got you guys. You're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Why are you doing? Why are you over there? Why are you preparing? Why are you inside the classroom? And he was making all these accusations. And funny enough, the teacher showed up at that moment. He came to check how my friend and I were doing the preparation. And he came and asked, hey, Oscar, how are you doing? How is the preparation going? And of course, that other classmate who was pointing fingers at us didn't say a single word and just left. At that moment, my friend and I, we have confidence of what we were doing because we knew that the teacher was backing us up. He was right behind us. We knew who had sent us and gave us permission to do what we were doing. Brothers and sisters, do you know who is backing you up at this moment as you work for the kingdom of God in the church, in your communities, in your own house as a Christian? It's God who is backing us up. the great creator of the world. He is the one who has sent us to the nations to preach the gospel. So in today's reading, what I want to address, what I want to see, is how can we have confidence in the Lord, even in times of tribulation and troubles? If we understand who is sending us, who is behind us, supporting us, who is sending us to do His work, just as the teacher has sent my friend and I to do that work in the classroom, do you feel fear? Are you confident of your work, of what you're doing? So in today's reading, I want us to see how can we have confidence in the Lord, even in time of tribulation. Despite all the problems and troubles that we have in life, how can we stand victoriously? Today's sermon, my title is More Than Conquerors in Christ. So today's reading, Paul opened up with this word. What then shall we say to these things? What is Paul talking about? Well, if we look at the previous couple chapters, we know that Paul has been talking about the assurance about the faith of the believers. We see how the righteousness of God lives in us, how we are dead in Adam, but live in Christ, how God's righteousness is completed in Christ, how the law and the things, how there is this confidence in the believer. So through all those chapters, Paul has been talking about how the believer is justified in Christ and how can we stand victorious. There's a sense of assurance to the believer. Because in that time, the church was being attacked by the government, by the Romans, by the priests, high priests, and the Jews themselves. More specifically, to the Gentiles also. There were people who were saying that they believed to be the true people of God, and they were pointing to the Gentiles that they were not real. We know that through scriptures in the early church, some of the Gentiles were being pushed around and being forced to get circumcised by force, because otherwise they were not believers. They were unclean and many things like that. So Paul come and explained to us, telling to the believers how to be sure from the enemy, how to be sure of the salvation. We see, just as Paul say in chapter 8:18, if we see, he says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Paul is talking that the glory of God, what is to come, is worth all the suffering. For sure, the church, the people of God, will suffer. But how can we have assurance? How can we feel sure that this is worth? So Paul starts explaining how we, the believers, can have assurance, confidence, and hope in God. Then we have the famous words that he explained here in Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is the first statement that Paul gives us. Why should we have hope despite all the situation? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is backing us up. He is actually supporting us. He is fighting for us. God cares about us. And he won us. It is clear that Paul wants us to understand that God cares about us. He's willing to even sacrifice his only son for us. Right? He says that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, who will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God love us so much that he was willing to give his only son for us. If we turn to Matthew 21:33, we can read of the parable of the tenants. I think so we're very familiar with this parable. In this parable is a story about a landlord who bought vineyards and he put tenants to take care of his land, he left. When the time came to reap the benefit of the fruit, he sent his servants to pick up the goods. But the story tells us that the tenants were evil, so they apprehend the servants of the Lord and killed them and tortured them. What does the landlord do next? He says, I will send my son. Surely they will respect my son. And we know how that ends up. The son is beat up and killed by the evil tenants. Why do I want to see this parable? And what's the relationship with this first part? We know that at the end of that passage, Jesus explained that the Pharisees and the high priests are the evil tenants. Even the Pharisees themselves find out that they are mentioned in that parable. And they're afraid of it. Well, from the story, it's very clear that the tenants are the Pharisees and the high priests, who were the servants that the Lord sent in the story. Those are the prophets and the priests of God. You know, we know that scripture tells us that God sent his people in the Old Testament and they were killed, meaning the prophets. And who is the son of the Lord in the story? We know that this is clearly Jesus Christ. God himself sent his son to die for the vineyard. Huh. So the question rises, who is the kingdom of God in this story? Who represents the vineyard? Have you ever thought about that? Here's another question. Why was the Lord so willing to send his own son for the vineyards? Here's an interesting question. Why was the Lord in that parable so fixed to reap from this fruit that he was willing to even send his son despite knowing that the tenants killed his servants? Some people here, I know that you own a company or your small business or something like that. You will never spend your money in something that will not be beneficial for your gain, right? You will not spend money, you will not put your money in something that you for sure will lose. You will actually put your money in something that will be beneficial and produce you something. So the question is, why in that parable the Lord so willingly to go and pick up to harvest that fruit of the vineyards? It's because he finds that vineyard fruitful and beneficial to him, to the point that he's even willing to send his son, knowing that he can be put to death. Brothers and sisters, I want us to see that the vineyard are his people, the church. We know that scripture told us the church, the fruit of his work. So God was so willingly to save us, his fruit, that he sent his only son, even knowing that he was going to be put into the cross and die at the hand of the Israelites, of the Pharisees, of the people. God cares about his people, and he's willing to put all, even his own son, for us. That's how much he cares for us. Brothers and sisters, if God cares so much for you, do you think he will let you suffer and perish at the hand of the unrighteous, of the enemy, of the devil? Just as the story that I told you in the beginning, like the teacher, who is backing you up? Who is approving of your work? Do you have confidence on God? So, we see the next step. Paul explained, why do we have confidence in God? He start bringing very interesting points. Look at verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? So Paul starts saying, who can judge us? Who can judge the church, the people of God? Paul says, it is God who justifies. Could you imagine if my classmate were to have responded to my teacher? No, no, you're wrong. They don't have permission. Who are you to give right to these class students to go into the classroom? Doesn't that sound a little bit ridiculous? Is the teacher, obviously, he has power to give such command, such ordain. Brothers and sisters, who is God that the world can tell them who that we are doing something wrong? Do you understand who is sending us to do his work? Does the world even know who is God? So Paul asks, do you know who are you even judging? Who is backing us up? Who is sending us? God. He is the God. He is the creator who can judge above God. Who is over his power, his ruling. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was risen? Paul said that Jesus Christ died for us. He is the one who is put for us in front. He is actually, and especially, Paul even highlighted that he resurrected. He was risen. So, where can we find hope? Why we despair in our tribulations? Paul says that even Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of God, praying and talking, speaking for us. How much more should we have confidence in God, in Jesus, in our work, in the world? Who can condemn us? Because Jesus already paid for our sins. There is no more judgment for us. And he speaks for us. So Paul in verse 35 starts speaking about what can separate us. Look what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sore? Many things in our life. Every day we have tribulation. There's always news, breaking news about how people are looking and how the world is a mess and people are being judgmental and how the people are hating each other. We see how the government start taking decisions that we're like questioning. We're seeing how can such vile decisions be approved? How can this world that every day look more and more against us, how can we prevail and be victorious? So Paul says an important key word. What can separate us from the love of God? If God loved us, would he leave us into despair and tribulations and defeat? Of course not. Definitely not. So Paul is giving us that we have trust because God hold us as fruitful, as beneficial, something to gain. He loved us so much that he sent his only son, just as the Lord sent his only son and servants to reap from the fruit of the vineyard. We are so valuable to him that he's willing to sacrifice so much. And then we come to the quote from Psalm 44 that at first it may look strange. How does this passage fit in all of this? I'm not very good at quoting from the Bible, or I'm not some big person with PhD or anything. I'm not better than Paul, but if I will be honest, when I read this passage in here, I find it weird why Paul quote from Psalm 44. I would think it's the opposite. Doesn't show any encouragement. Look what he say. For your sake, we are beaten, killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Brother and sister, who who of you read this passage and think, wow, what a words of encouragement. Now I don't feel afraid of all tribulation and problems. No, these words doesn't sound like words of encouragement. Rather, it sounds almost like we are to suffer. We're ready to be death at the hand of the enemy. So why does Paul put this passage in here? I promise you that I choose this passage before Pastor Ma preached on Psalm 40. I promise you. It's not because he preached it that I choose it. Later on, I find out it's quoted. This quotation is from Psalm 44. And if we remember, Pastor Ma teaches us that we need to have a different perspective on the idea of suffering. How do we believers see the word of suffering? If we go back to Psalm 44 and we read from verse 21 and 22, we can see that this suffering is not because of sinful actions. Look what the psalm says. If we have forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, will not God have discovered it? Since he knows the secret of the heart, yet for your sake we have death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This passage is not talking about suffering as a punishment. It's talking about suffering for the glory of God. So Paul grabs this passage and follow up. He responds by saying, no, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. That's what he included. He's saying, for sure, the believer will suffer. We're set up like sheep to be slaughtered. Because this world hates us. Because the world hated God, hated Jesus first. Because the world hated Jesus first, they will hate us. And we will suffer. But then Paul says, don't be discouraged. Over all the suffering, we are more than victorious. And here is the key, a key two words that he mentioned. Through him who loved us. Two things that we need to pay attention. Through him. Who is him? Jesus Christ. Who loved us. That's the key point. Because of Jesus Christ, we can be victorious. And because he loved us. These two things need to be kept in mind in order to understand how can we be victorious in the suffering of the world. Brothers and sisters, pretty sure that many of you will be waking up next day or next week and be wondering, facing some tribulations. Some problems will be unfair. Some will be out of your hand control. You may be the most faithful and righteous Christian. You may be even sacrificing for someone else who needed help. You may be putting your own effort and your own money for someone. You may be preaching someone. You may be sacrificing your time and your spare time and your resting time for someone else. And yet still be slapped in the face. And you wonder, how am I being victorious? How are the people of God truly say we are victorious about all? Well, Paul reminded us that through Jesus Christ and because God loves us, that is where we have hope. And that's where we put our hope in Christ, in God. So Paul continues and finishes this passage by saying, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. How many things are in all creation? Notice how he goes from the spiritual to the physical. From the physical point, our enemy mostly is something physical. Right? Could be a boss, could be the leaders of education of today's schools, could be the president, could be those whom power who can oppress us and push us. Spiritually, we see the devil tempting us, pushing us, forcing us, telling us that we're not winning, that we're not doing anything good. Is this really worth it, the suffering? Every day asking us, are we doing what is right? Who we are to stand up and say, this is the gospel, this is the word of God of life. So brothers and sisters, we need to see that we have hope in God, that even in tribulation and pain and suffering, we are more than victorious because God cared for you. Because God, just like in the parable of the vineyard, cared so much for the fruit that he was willing to send his son, even when previously the evil tenants already killed and mistortured his servant. He's willing to sacrifice, to bet all his effort, all his money for that vineyard. God was willing to put even his own son for us. So, how much hope and assurance do you have in God if he's willing to sacrifice so much for you? Are you ready to stand firm with hope and strength and confirmation from God that whatever happened, you're going to stand victorious and come out in glory? Or are you going to think, he doesn't care for me and there's nothing for me? May not be like that, because nothing can separate us from his love. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. You are the loving Father, the creator of the world, the mighty God who loves us. Lord, thank you because through Jesus Christ that have died on the cross, through all faith, from your grace, from your mercy, we are able to call you Abba in heavens. We pray to you open arms, and we know that you are behind us. You are our God, our Father in heaven, and you care for us. So let us stand firm knowing that we are victorious, because through Jesus Christ who loves us, we can stand in all tribulations, knowing that we are always going to be victorious, because you already stand firm, victorious in the cross about everything. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.